about the stone that the builders rejected. The stone that the builders rejected. And we want to look into this a little bit. And as you take the whole word of God and you look at this, he gave about the wicked husbandmen right before this. And this was in the parable of the vineyard, how that they sent out different ones to that vineyard to collect what was due them, and how they sent this one. And we're going to go through that this morning, and how they didn't receive him, and they sent that one, they didn't receive him. And then the master thought, well, if I send my son, they'll surely receive him. But when they sent his son to that vineyard, they killed the son also. And then Jesus made an analogy there, and he tied it together in verses 42 through 44. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And that also is in Psalms chapter 118, verses 22 and 23. And that's what Jesus was repeating, what is in the Psalms. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Father, we thank you for this reading of the word today, God. I pray that you'll bless our ears to receive and our hearts to hear this today, God, in the name of Jesus, that it be anointed by you. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. In that saying, the stone that the builders rejected, you'll find that written in the scripture six times. But what does it mean? To be rejected. To be rejected means you disapprove of something. And when they were searching for a chief cornerstone, when they were going to build something, back in the day, that chief cornerstone had to be a perfect stone or the building would fall down. And so they would gather stones that they thought would be the good stone to start with, because every other stone in that building was going to be connected to that one, and that one was very important. So as they would gather these stones, they would find one and think, this one could maybe be the chief cornerstone. And they would keep gathering stones, and then they'd find another one that was a little bit better than the one they had set aside. And they would have that one set aside. And they would go for a long time until they finally determined that they had the best stone, amen, that they could use in that corner to start that building, so the building would not fall. And so they searched and they laid aside stones until they found the perfect one. And Christ was rejected because in their eyes, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't what they expected him to be. First of all, he was born. He was born to a common family. They weren't expecting that. Just born into a common family. He was born in a manger. They weren't expecting that. And two, he questioned their religious system. As he grew up, he started to question their religious system. He stood up against them. They rejected his teaching. And something that really upset them is throughout his teaching in his life is Jesus made himself equal with God. And at one time, the way that he talked, it almost sounded like he was making himself greater than David. And they really looked up to David. They rejected this man. They despised him. They refused him. And we're talking about the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. They didn't realize the gem that was right there before their eyes. They didn't realize that that's the one that they were really searching and looking for. And when he was right there in front of them, they couldn't see that he was there to help them. And how many times, if we're not careful, that can happen in our life. We're searching and we're looking for an answer, and the answer's right there before our eyes, and we're rejecting what is before us because we think that that's not God in that thing. And many times it is. And so we've all experienced some type of rejection in our life. We have done that. We have experienced rejection in our life. Something that's heart-wrenching to see, and I've seen parents not meaning to do it. If they mean to do it, that's worse yet. But a child will come to them and they're all excited about something perhaps that they did at school, and they have a paper that they want to show their mom and dad, and is that they're at school doing it. They're thinking, I can't wait to take this home and show my mommy and show my daddy, or to show my brothers and my sisters. And they're so proud of what they did and they're so excited about it. And they come home with that, and they're trying to, and they don't always catch us at the opportune time. We need to understand that as parents. parents and grandparents, but they're so excited about what they've did. And then they come to show that to them, and they're rejected. Oh, get out of here with that silly thing. Well, look at that. That's terrible. You're proud of that? What's wrong with you? Then you can see the rejection on the child's face to be rejected. We have all experienced some type of rejection in our life. Amen. It could be a paper that you brought home from school, is a little story that I just told there, the little example that I gave. And you felt that rejection, something you were totally excited about. You were totally sold out to it. Like, this is it. This is the thing. And you took it to whoever it was, and they rejected it. The rejection's not a good feeling. Amen. A rejection. You didn't get the job that you thought that you should have got. You thought that promotion should have been coming to you. You were the one most qualified for it, and you were rejected. And they chose somebody that didn't even have the qualifications, perhaps, for the job. You felt rejection in that way. In another way that we felt rejection, the two young ladies in the front here haven't felt this yet. Amen. But I guarantee you're going to feel it someday if you go down this road. And if you're really wise, you're not going to go down this road, but you're going to get a loan because you want to get a vehicle. We'll use that example. That's not a smart thing to do. You're better to save your money and pay cash for it. Amen. But you're all excited. You see that car or whatever item it is, and you're going to get the loan for it. You go fill out the paperwork, and you can see yourself riding in that car, and you got it all planned out how you're going to pay for it, and you get rejected. You don't qualify for the loan. That doesn't make you feel very good. Amen. And there's some that have been rejected. They go into a sports activity, and they want to make first string. They just don't want to make the team. They want to make the team, but they want to be one of the starters, and it doesn't happen for you because they choose somebody else over you. You sense that rejection. Amen. And then there's worse rejections that happen. There are some people that have been rejected by their fathers. There's some people that have been rejected by their mothers. Amen. There's some people that have been rejected by their husbands, rejected by their wives, rejected by their kids. That's not a good feeling when you're rejected by someone. It's like, what did I do? What was wrong here? And so we've prayed. Amen. And rejection feelings have come this way too. How many times have you prayed and you felt like your prayers were rejected? What do I mean like that? You're praying and you just have a feeling like that prayer didn't even get out of this room. I don't think God even heard that prayer. You feel like it's getting rejected. Those are all feelings. Amen. And this verse that we read, Matthew 21 and 42, amen, that's found in the parable of the vineyard. Amen. The parable of the vineyard. Amen. In this parable, the vineyard is Israel. Israel is the land that's the vineyard. And so the owner of this vineyard is God. And so what happens... And the servants in this parable are the prophets, and one after the other, amen, they go out, and finally he sends his son. And if you read that parable, you'll see what happened. They rejected the prophets, amen, and they did that, and they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. He was giving them a story. They listened to that story, and they thought, that's terrible. The man that was sent his only son to go to this vineyard to get what was due him, and they killed that son. And Jesus was talking about himself, because the Israelites did that. The Jews, the people of Israel, they rejected the prophets, and they rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if you think about this, and these aren't good feelings that I'm talking about this morning, but Christ lived a life of rejection. Rejection. Right off the bat. Rejection. There was no room for him in the inn. And then the king was after him, and he thought, this man thinks he's going to, I don't know where he is, but we'll have all the little Jewish babies killed from, I think it was 2 years old and downward, and his parents had to flee into Egypt, into a land where they shouldn't even be going for fear of his life. He was rejected. He lived a life of rejection. Amen. And Joseph, and we don't think about this, Joseph was even going to reject marrying Mary, who he was engaged to, because she was with child, who she had no intimate contact with another man, and that had never been heard of before or since. A woman isn't with child without having been with a man. And here's Joseph. He was going to reject her. He wasn't going to marry her. He was going to write her a bill of divorcement, because back then, they could write a bill of divorcement with an engagement. There was no room in the inn. John chapter 1 and verse 7 says this. We're talking about Jesus who lived a life of rejection. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own received him not. How would you like to go? And you might think, well, that's the way it is with me anyway, but I don't think it's really that way with anybody. Amen. They might think it in their mind. How would you like to go to a family reunion and you're rejected by everybody that's there? Nobody wants to talk to you. They all just turn a shoulder. They just brush you off. They just give you the hi, hello thing. They don't want to, you know, engage in any conversation with you. You can feel that rejection. You can feel like, I'm not wanted here. Have you ever been somewhere where you felt out of place? Like, I'm not wanted here. I'm rejected. Jesus was rejected. The crowds rejected him. They left off from following him. In John chapter 6 and verse 6, many of his disciples, not the 12 disciples, but those that said they were going to follow Christ, were following him, and he gave them a hard teaching, and because of that teaching, they stopped off from following him. They rejected his teaching. Judas rejected him, one of the 12. That he chose to follow him. And these 12, the idea was, and God knew what he was doing, these 12 are going to take this gospel message in, and they're going to take it into the whole world. One of his own, Judas, rejected him. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected him. One of the thieves upon the cross rejected him. You talk about, man, you go one place, you get rejected. You go to another place, you get rejected. You go to another place, you get rejected. That's pretty soon going to break your spirit and break your will. You're going to become the kind of person that don't even want to be around people, because everywhere I'm going, I'm just rejected. Nobody wants me around. But Jesus was rejected of all men. Amen. Jesus himself, and I already made mention of this, Jesus himself felt like God rejected him. On the cross, Jesus cried out these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we can add to that, they forsook me ever since I was here. They didn't want me here. They tried to kill me. They took me to the brow of the hill one time and were going to throw me over. I've been rejected of the scribes and the Pharisees. They don't like me. One of my own disciples betrayed me. Everybody's after me. And now, God, you've turned your back on me. Why have you forsaken me? Amen. But here's the thing about the whole situation. Amen. And you got to remember this in your life. When rejection comes, and it will, we have all faced rejection in our life. That's not good feelings. We don't feel good about it. It could be something, it's not trivial if it happens to you. It could be something as trivial as not getting the promotion on the job that you think you should get. It could be something as, you know, everybody else is making a little bit more money than you are, and you go to management and you talk to them about it. Hey, I'd like a little bit more money. And they say, no, you're not. You feel that rejection. Rejection is something that we all face. In the rejections that we have in our life, in the rejections that Jesus had in his life, in all of those rejections, God had a plan. Amen. God used the rejection of Christ. Amen. The humiliation, the taking of his life. He used that for a greater purpose, for a greater reason. And how did Mary and the disciples feel the day that Jesus died? What were their emotions like the day that he died? They probably thought, well, maybe it is what they said. He's not really who he said he was. And they felt rejected when Jesus died. They felt it was like the end, because they didn't understand. Jesus told them, he says, I must needs. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles. Amen. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be beaten, and I'm going to be killed. But I'm going to raise the third day. But at the moment of the time of the crucifixion of Christ, the disciples were feeling a rejection. They thought, it's over. It's done. And they probably thought back. Judas rejected him. Peter knew he denied him when he was on the cross. And all the other things that we talked about here this morning. Luke 18:34, the disciples couldn't understand any of this that Jesus talked to them about, because it was hidden from them. They didn't know what was going on. They were betwixt before Christ rose from the dead. We know that the disciples got together on the one occasion and Thomas wasn't with them. I don't know where Thomas was. Amen. If he was so afraid that he didn't want to be with a group of disciples. But then Jesus Jesus showed up in their midst. And then they realized God did this for a greater purpose, a greater reason. This Jesus, he really did rise from the dead. He really is here with us now. And the whole thing took on a different light. Amen. And so here's the line that I want you to get in what I'm sharing with you here today. Amen. There are hidden things we don't see now, but God has a plan. I'm going to say that again. There are hidden things that you don't see now that's going on in your life. God has a plan. God has a plan. Well, Jesus, he was God in the flesh. It was easy for him because he knew what the outcome was going to be. I don't think it was easy for him. Nobody likes to feel rejection. You don't like to feel that. And the same stone, it says this chief cornerstone is going to be the one that the builders have rejected. So there's hidden things that we don't see now, but God has a plan for the greater good. We have to put our trust in God. They thought it was over when Jesus died. Amen. They thought it was over. Jesus was a man and he just died. He lived and he walked and talked among them. There was probably some doubts even with some of his disciples. Is this really God in the flesh? Is he who he really says he is? And then when they seen him die like he died, they remembered all the miracles that he did. In fact, the people were making fun of him, and it says, others he saved, himself he cannot save. If you're really this Christ, take yourself down from that cross. He was ridiculed. He was rejected. And so they felt a rejection. They thought it was over. And if he didn't rise on the third day, if he doesn't rise on this third day, maybe they did talk about it a little bit. Well, wait a minute. He said he was going to rise on the third day. But if he doesn't, then he's just like us. We've just been living in this misconception, in this idea that he was somebody great, and he really wasn't. But Jesus was more than a man. He was God in the flesh, in human flesh. He lived a perfect life, and he died for our sins. In Matthew 21:42, amen, in the Psalms account, 118:24, it says after this, this is the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. And the verse that follows is this verse here, this is the day that the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So through all the rejection that you're going through, amen, all the rejection that Jesus went through, and then it comes right at the end, this is the day that the Lord hath made. It's for a purpose and a reason. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe a little bit we'll sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. This day was ordained by God. This time was ordained by God for Christ to suffer and die as he died. This is the day God has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. And the cornerstone that they used in these buildings, amen, it was a huge stone. It was placed first in a building and all the other stones would flow from it. Jesus is the cornerstone. Stone. The church is built on him. Amen. The church is built on him. He is the capstone in the middle of an archway. And in Haiti, some towns around here might have archways when you go into the town. And it always amazed me. The arch comes up like this. And how does that thing stand? And it's all stone. It's because there's a capstone in the middle of the archway. Amen. And Jesus is the capstone in the middle of the archway. Jesus is the one that holds it all together. Amen. Lots of people in life when Jesus was here, they walked by Jesus and there was no change in their life. Zacchaeus, let there be a change in his life. The woman at the well, let there be a change in his life. The woman that had the issue of blood, let there be a change in his life. The one that was laying in the porches there when the waters were stirred and troubled, the first one to get down, he didn't get down there, but Jesus came by. He let Jesus make a change in his life. But there were many others that were laying there on the porch at that time. There was no change made in their life. Amen. So when Jesus is your cornerstone, you trust him. Amen. Is he your cornerstone today? If he's your cornerstone today, that means that you trust him. You don't trust yourself. I don't trust myself because I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make an unwise decision. I trust in Jesus, not myself. I don't trust in my good works. Amen. There's people that'll trust in their good works, or they'll trust in a man-made religion. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. It was a man-made religion. Amen. They took the law and they added a whole lot more things to it out of the zeal that they had for God. They made it harder than what it was by not following Jesus. Amen. To be your cornerstone. Amen. Matthew 21:44. This is what will become of you if you don't follow Jesus and let him be the cornerstone of your life. What is that? Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So if you reject God, you reject Jesus' authority over your life. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to figure it out. I got this. I'll do my own thing. I know that I can do this. You'll lose all the blessings that God has desired for you. God wants to bless his children. But if we don't choose to follow him, we're stopping those blessings from coming in. And so when we reject the authority of God in our lives, it's the beginning of the end in your life. It's the beginning of the end in your life. It's just going to be all downhill from there if you don't really let God in your life the way that he wants to be in there. Amen. Rejecting Christ, it's going to result in much damage. Amen. Throwing Christ aside, it's going to result in much damage in your life. He's the chief cornerstone. Amen. There's only a few of you left here that are going to school this week, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone. You don't throw him aside. Amen. That's going to result in a lot of damage in your life. You don't reject Christ. And then it talks about here being ground to powder, destruction. Rejection of Christ, amen, is going to be to your own rule, to your own ruin. Amen. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, amen. So when rejecting God's help, amen, you fall on this stone. Amen. You fall on this stone. We receive hurts and harms because of rejecting. But when that stone falls on us, it's going to grind us to powder. When the word of God falls on us, it's going to be the judgment of God. He knows us inside out. We need to fall on that stone. We need to be broken on that stone. Amen. We need to be poured out like wine upon the altar for me. Amen. The song that we sing. So in summary, we all have some kind of contact with Christ in our life. We've all had some kind of contact with him. Some in an intimate way with him, some just from a distance. People that haven't even accepted him yet have had some kind of contact with Christ. And rejection of Christ here and now, it's harmful right now to do it. But the continued rejection of him is hopeless, and it's endless, and it's destruction. Amen. And so I want you to think about what I said there this morning. Amen. As Jesus became the chief cornerstone, he was the one that the builders rejected, but he still became that chief cornerstone. Amen. Things were hidden from them. Things are hidden from us that we don't see now, but God has a plan. And remember that verse that follows. I'm going to turn over there, Psalms 118. Amen. Psalms 118. Just to put it in perspective for you. Amen. In closing this morning, Psalms chapter 118. Rejection is not something that any of us like. Psalms 118. 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Amen. In the midst of rejection, you have to realize and understand, as Christ did, it's for the greater purpose. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will choose to do that. It doesn't say it's going to be easy to do, because it's marvelous, and God has a plan. It's marvelous in his eyes. Heaven's excited about what's going on in your life today. They're excited about that because they see there an opportunity for God to really reveal himself in a way that you've never seen God reveal himself to you before, and they're excited. They see that blessing about to be poured out. They see that answer about to come, and they're rejoicing, and they're excited. Amen. And probably in heaven today, they're saying, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't mean that it's a good day right now, but it's a day that God has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We are going to accept help, amen, from that one that was so rejected of men, and he still is rejected to this day. It is, they say religion, but it's really Christ that is such controversy, and we've talked about that on Wednesday night. Because of Christ, there's division in homes, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and so on and so forth. It goes through it in the scripture. Amen. It's because of Christ, because of that rejection. But there is for a greater purpose. Amen. And God wants to work in our life. Let's sing that song. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. There are hidden things we don't see now. God has a plan. Oh,